We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
So I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. You know, sometimes with these radio stations, the entire system goes down, and it seems to be happening more and more, unfortunately, at ABC. What can I tell you? But we are back, and we'll improve this connection in just a few minutes. All right. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? The phone number here tonight, if the station's able to take your calls, is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. So what is this show all about? Well, it's about technical difficulties tonight, but it's also about cosmetic surgery. It's about you. It's about what you look like. It's about your wrinkles and maybe some brown splotchy pigmentation of your face. Maybe it's about jowls and maybe it's fat around the hips. Or maybe you just had your baby and you look at your belly and you wonder, what on earth am I going to do with this extra skin and my brand new shape, which I'm not so thrilled about? Well, I'm a plastic surgeon. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, and that means I've done a real residency in plastic surgery, and I trained at Harvard, Cornell, and the University of Chicago, and am certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, and I'm here for you to answer your phone calls. Give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. WABC, and we're going to see if we can get this contraption back running in just a few minutes. So, Mike, why don't you go to commercial for a minute, and we'll come back and see if we can get up and running.
Listen carefully if you're interested in beautiful skin. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Good skin care really can improve your appearance. I know you've used many products over the years and haven't seen a difference, so you say, why should I try your products, Dr. Perry? Here's why. I combine scientifically proven ingredients into just a few products, and that keeps skincare very simple. A study showed my products reduced the appearance of wrinkles over 20% by 12 weeks. Protect your skin in the morning with daytime, nourish your skin in the evening with nighttime, and wash your face and even remove most makeup with my non-toxic Clean Time soap. WABC listeners, for 1 month only, I'm offering my basic skincare kit at half price. You'll get all three products for $55 plus shipping. Go to drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WABC50 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WABC.
All right, so I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We're back, and I hope that sounds better for all you listeners from Maine to Virginia, and not that tin canny sound they told me what was happening here. All right, but let's get back to action. This is the Plastic Surgery Show. This is the show about you. So this is the show to give me a call. If you're driving through the Lincoln Tunnel, you know you can get this station in the Lincoln Tunnel. Not barely, but you can certainly get it on the bridges and the highways and in your home around the New York area and beyond. So give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. All right, tonight we are going to talk about facial rejuvenation, one of my favorite topics, and it's a great time of year to have a procedure, whether it's an operative procedure or non-operative. This is the busy season in plastic surgery, and you might think it's okay the winter when you can hide away, but it really is the spring. It seems to bring everybody out who wants cosmetic surgery. So we're going to talk about facial rejuvenation tonight, and we're going to also talk about, you know, I keep getting these emails, and boy, are they bothering me. These are for these liquids, these gels or creams that you're supposed to put on warts, moles, skin tags, and they're supposed to make them go away.
You must have gotten, if you have the internet, you probably have gotten these emails, the emails about these products. And it's just amazing. It's a real flaw that the FDA allows something like this. And it's just amazing that companies advertise these products that are absolutely injurious to your health and perhaps deadly. So I'm not going to tell you the name of the company because I'm not going to give them extra publicity. But there are several, and they're not just on the internet, but they're in stores, and they have one thing in common. They've got two ingredients, and what are those ingredients? One is called sanguinaria. Sanguinaria. Not such a good thing. It's from a bloodroot plant, and this is a plant that is very, very caustic, and that means it actually can burn through your skin. And they combine this with something called zinc chloride. It goes through a lot of different names. There's a lot of ways to call zinc chloride. They call it zincum muriaticum and things like that. Not good. It also goes by the name of black salve. So I want to warn my listeners about this particular substance. I want to tell you that if you use this, you are taking literally your life in your hands. And I can't believe this stuff is in the stores and is being sold in the United States. But what is bad about it? Well, there was a paper I'm sure you read mutation research, right? That's a big one at your dinner table. Send me the copy of mutation research. Well, I read it. I read it. And there was a paper about this particular black salve, this stuff that they're advertising, and they documented that it's a carcinogen. It's a carcinogen. It can cause gallbladder cancer and oral cancer, and that's just one of the things wrong with it. It can also burn through the skin. There was another paper that's about a year or so old now that had someone who used this, actually an 86-year-old man. This was from last August, and he put one dose of this stuff on what he thought was just a blemish, he called it, on his temple. And it burned right through his skin, and it hit his artery, and it would not stop bleeding. It was taken by ambulance to the hospital. They did save his life. But these things are so dangerous. My audience is way too intelligent. I really believe that if you're listening to this show, you're interested in your health, and you're not going to use things like this black salve on your skin. If you've got a mole, if you've got any sort of something that's growing under your skin, whether it's a wart or a skin tag, show it to your doctor first. I mean, warts, sure, if it's a documented wart, there's plenty of very gentle home treatments for warts. You don't have to go to the doctor for that. But you need to know that it is a wart. And certainly what these substances are advertising that they help are moles. Can you imagine that? Moles. I mean, how do you know the difference between a mole and a melanoma? You don't. Even your doctor may not. So please don't do these things. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. And Mr. Producer, you'll have to whisper in my ear since the WABC board does not appear to be up tonight. So you have to tell me the callers. 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. We're going to be giving away bottles of Nighttime. Nighttime is one-stop shopping for skincare. It is it's got everything you need in it. It's got vitamin A and vitamin C. It's got fruit acids, all sorts of good things for your skin. And we're giving bottles away to callers tonight. But before we can do that, we've got a great interview with the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital and the Robert Wood Johnson St. Barnabas System. Now, they're a joint system in New Jersey. I think they're the largest hospital system in New Jersey. And I'm so pleased to have them as an advertiser. And I am happy to have an interview tonight with Robert Wood Johnson. Mike, do you have that interview in queue? All righty. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. And at Robert Wood Johnson, by the way, if you're not familiar with Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital, it is in the geographic center of New Jersey. It is in New Brunswick, New Jersey. So if you look at a map, you're going to put your finger right in the center of the map, and there you have it. You have Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital right off, literally walking distance, literally maybe 100 yards from the Penn Station in New Brunswick. So if you're coming from New York City or all points north or south from Philadelphia, I know I have lots of listeners in Philadelphia, it is a very easy ride on the train, or easy. You know, when you drive in New Jersey, it's not nearly the way it is in New York when you drive. So are we up with that interview, Mike? All right, so we'll be back after this interview with the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. Stay tuned.
All right, coming up, I've got board-certified radiation oncologist in the Department of Radiation Oncology at the Rutgers Cancer Institute and Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. Now, the reason I have this physician on is because this is the this is a time of the year that prostate cancer is in the news, and it's Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. So now, tonight, I have Dr. Parikh, Rahul Parikh, from the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital, and he is the head of the Lori Proton Therapy Center at Robert Wood Johnson. This is a very unique facility, and listen very carefully as I talk with Dr. Rahul Parikh from the Proton Center.
Good. Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday evening to be a part of the show. So, you know, what you are running, the Proton Therapy Center, is foreign to so many people. We know about radiation therapy, but let's talk for a minute before we get into the specifics. What is proton therapy?
So proton therapy is a treatment option that uses focused rays of proton particles to destroy cancerous tissues, and we have that capability here at Robert Wood Johnson, and it's capable of delivering extremely precise high doses of radiation to accurately target cancer cells for various disease sites.
So now, how is it better, or how is it different from standard, therapy that you might administer to someone? Let's take one of your specialties, prostate cancer. Now, how does it differ between radiation therapy standard and your new proton therapy?
Yeah, so as part of our multiple treatment options we have available here at the Rutgers Cancer Institute in New Jersey and Robert Wood Johnson, proton therapy is extremely precise. It's one of the most advanced forms of radiation treatments we have today. So it really primarily radiates the tumor site, leaving much of the surrounding healthy tissue and organs intact, whereas conventional X-ray radiation therapy often radiates healthy tissue within its path. So there are several advantages to proton therapy for various disease sites, particularly prostate cancer as well.
Okay, so now you have a new machine at the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital and the Rutgers Cancer Institute. So it's always amazing to me how rapidly these things move along.
Yeah.
And, proton therapy was a dream 10 years ago, and now you're into more than the first generation, it seems. So tell me about this new machine Robert Wood Johnson has.
Yep, absolutely. So traditionally, proton therapy centers have been quite large, almost the size of football fields, and cost hundreds of millions of dollars to build and operate. But that model in our healthcare system is really not financially or spatially accessible for a large majority of cancer centers, so it really limited access to this important treatment modality. And so as one of the world's smallest single-room proton therapy systems, our Mevion Center, it can actually be integrated into any size cancer facility. It's 75% smaller, uses 90% less energy, and significantly lower capital and operating costs than other traditional systems. So what really makes us different than most other proton therapy centers that is that we're operated by physicians like myself, but with a close collaboration with New Jersey's only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center, the Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey. And what this does is it allows for cancer patients to really have access to not just the expertise, but a large portfolio of clinical trials, and many of those that include proton beam therapy.
Really fascinating, really fascinating. My guest this evening, Dr. Parikh, is the director of the proton therapy system, I guess you call it, at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital and the Rutgers Cancer Institute. So proton therapy, now it's kind of a new thing in radiation therapy, but is there radiation with proton therapy like there would be with traditional radiation therapy?
Absolutely. So it sort of is with the mainstream radiation therapy, it's one of the multiple treatment options, including brachytherapy, stereotactic radiosurgery. It's another tool that allows our physicians to determine if patients may be best suited for proton therapy, a more sophisticated version of the conventional form of radiation. There usually are very few side effects to proton therapy compared to the conventional forms of treatment. So it may be more tolerated than standard radiation therapy. So it really is an important milestone in our cancer therapy toolbox for patients in this region.
So now, you are now using this new therapy on prostate cancer. So prostate cancer is unfortunately such a common disease in men. And, you know, traditionally it's been treated with surgery and maybe some chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Now, as we add proton therapy, and what are the advantages to that using proton therapy in prostate cancer?
Yeah, agreed. So proton therapy is a relatively newer form of cancer treatment, at least within the past couple of decades, but it's actually already shown to have remarkable promise and advantages over conventional treatment, especially for the treatment of prostate cancer. So proton therapy's accuracy and the control it gives physicians in terms of adapting treatment and making it really an excellent non-invasive and a low-risk, very low-risk option for prostate cancer. So, in fact, over the years, many studies have shown that proton therapy may improve the quality of life for prostate cancer patients and survivors by offering a number of compelling benefits. One, it is totally non-invasive, and therefore it's completely painless. And so it allows us to deliver high doses of radiation while minimizing any potential damage to the healthy tissues and organs. Secondly, the treatment is largely provided in an outpatient setting. So the treatment should really have a minimal impact on the patient's energy level, and specifically for prostate cancer patients, a very low risk of impotence. And so overall, the treatment may have a lower risk of side effects compared to conventional radiation therapy, making it an excellent option.
All right. So let's take a 60-year-old man that was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. He's had his biopsy. Now, at what point is surgery performed first? Is there ever a time when you might go straight to proton therapy? Tell us a little bit about the options a man has when he's faced with this disease.
So, you know, what we do is when the patient is diagnosed and the patient and family are dealing with one of the toughest decisions and diagnoses of their lives, I tell patients really the most important thing is to do your homework and learn as much as possible about all of the treatment options available for the condition. And it here at our center, we do offer all of the available options. I encourage patients to ask a lot of questions and discuss them thoroughly with their physicians that really specialize in this type of cancer. And our focus at the Cancer Institute and Robert Wood Johnson has been to provide a multidisciplinary approach. Our physicians within the Department of Radiation Oncology can really determine if the traditional form of radiation is appropriate or the patient may be better suited for proton beam therapy or perhaps a surgical option and may be better for that patient.
All right, so let's say someone does have proton therapy. Now, how long does a treatment take and how many treatments are there for prostate cancer?
So proton therapy generally can take anywhere from a single session to several daily sessions over a period of several weeks. Each individual session is not more than 20 to 30 minutes a day. It all depends on the tumor site. Particularly for prostate cancer, the definitive treatment for prostate cancer historically has been 8 to 9 weeks of radiation therapy. There are shorter and more convenient schedules of radiation that we can perform with proton therapy. So not only can we provide a safer treatment and with fewer short-term and long-term complications, but also a shorter schedule, making it the treatment likely to be more convenient for most patients. So it's quite effective and convenient.
So if someone undergoes a course of proton therapy, how soon can they see the benefits? When do you see it, and how do you see it with symptoms, or do you see it from x-rays and things that you take?
Absolutely. So it really depends on the tumor site. So we treat a variety of cancer diagnoses with proton therapy, as well as standard conventional radiation therapy. With most cancers, after treatment is completed, we monitor the patients very closely with blood work and imaging as appropriate to make sure that the cancer has not returned in any way.
All right. So now new therapies are always kind of a challenge for our healthcare system, and it takes a while for insurance companies sometimes to catch up. How are they doing right now with proton therapy in the United States?
So for various disease sites, particularly for the young adult population, the pediatric population, as well as older patients, many insurance carriers and providers nationwide do cover proton therapy, as well as the United States Medicare program. So this indication is growing rapidly throughout our nation for most carriers.
And that's good news. And when Medicare starts to cover something, the rest of the insurance companies pretty much have to. My guest this evening is Dr. Rahul Parikh. He is the medical director of the Lori Proton Therapy Center at the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He's a radiation oncologist at the Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey. And he is the director of the Proton Therapy Treatment Program. And he is an expert, a real expert. And I want to thank you so much for taking your time this evening to discuss this with our listeners. And can you just tell me and our listeners, what is the number over there at your center? If someone were to have questions about proton therapy, who should they call?
Absolutely. Our phone number is 732-253-3939. That's our Department of Radiation Oncology. Once again, 732-253-3939. And we can help triage any cancer diagnosis at any stage and any treatment that may be applicable for all patients.
Well, thanks so much. And the number for Robert Wood Johnson is 888-MDRWJUH. 888-MDRWJUH. Stay tuned. We've got more of the show. I'll be right back.
Again, that's Robert Wood Johnson, RWJUH, UH.edu. So that's the website. Go to it. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is a live show tonight, a little disjointed, I suppose, with technical difficulties and sound issues, but I think we've got things back in order now. Well, this is the show about you. It's called What's Your Wrinkle? And it is a show about wrinkles and a show about jowls and a show about fat deposits that might be somewhere that you don't want them, like your neck or maybe on your hips. This is also a show about small breasts and large breasts and bellies that protrude after pregnancy. This is the Plastic Surgery Show right here on WABC. You can give me a call, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-WABC. And if you do give us a call, we've got a bottle of Dr. Perry's Nighttime for you. And that is it's a great product. Yes, I designed it. I'm so biased, aren't I? But it is a really good product. The way I designed this, and it goes way back to the old night skin days, where I wanted to combine make a product that had all the things that really were scientifically proven. It turns out there really aren't a lot of things that make a difference in your skin, despite all those advertisements that you hear on the radio and all those advertisements on television for these very obscure products, these things that you put on your skin that are promising to do all sorts of things. How about peptides? You've heard of those peptides, and I don't want to mention the brand name of these things, but I'll tell you something. The peptides can't possibly do anything. I think they're it's just ridiculous because the molecule is way too big. It can't get into the skin. You know, it's interesting. I know you listen to me because my patients come in, and I had someone last week who said, you know, just exactly what I said. So you do listen to me on the radio, and it's important to understand that so much of skincare just can't work. Whether it's not enough of a percentage, let's say vitamin C. You have to have 5% vitamin C in the right form to make a difference. Vitamin C is a wonderful ingredient in skincare, but most, and I mean most, companies put the wrong type of vitamin C in. And it's not because they're stupid. It's not because they don't understand the science. It's because vitamin C is a very, very fragile molecule. And it goes bad very, very quickly. But I have a patent on my process, and I'm able to keep vitamin C fresh for a long, long time. In fact, we refrigerate our product right from the word go. So once it is created, we put it right in the industrial refrigerators and send it out, and it gets to you, and then you use it. Now, you don't have to refrigerate it at home, but what I do by refrigerating it is I make the product basically as good when you get it as it was when it came right out of the factory. So vitamin C is a very, very fragile substance, and most companies gave up on it. They said, we're not going to be bothered with vitamin C. We're going to use a different type of vitamin C. The FDA still allows us to call these other things like magnesium ascorbyl phosphate and other things vitamin C because they're sort of the vitamin C molecule. But your body cannot use that. And there's no proof that it can actually, some of these substances can't even get through the skin, but ones that can get through the skin can't be used by your body. So it's pretty interesting. We've got to use the right form, which is called L-ascorbic acid. That's the one that works. That's what God intended you to get. You know, we're very, very unique in the animal world. Only humans and guinea pigs need vitamin C. Other animals, all other animals, can make their own, so they don't need to take vitamin C. And that's why, by the way, when you hear the phrase, don't make a guinea pig out of me, it's because of those vitamin C studies almost a century ago where they used guinea pigs and they took vitamin C away from them and to see exactly what kind of diseases they got. And that disease is called scurvy, and we get that also. So we need to eat vitamin C, and we can put some on our skin. We can get 40 times the levels of vitamin C in our skin if we use 10% vitamin C in a serum, which is what my nighttime has. So it's got vitamin C and vitamin A, fruit acids, and it is the foundation for looking better. And it sounds very trite, isn't it? You know, the foundation, of course, the skincare. How could it possibly make you look better? But it does, because we get older. We know that. Our skin ages every year after age 30. We lose 1% of the collagen in our skin, 1% of the thickness of our skin because of that. We lose elastin. Those are the stretchy fibers. The collagen, by the way, those are the structural fibers. And we lose all these things in our skin. We lose hyaluronic acid at a rate of about 1% per year. That's what keeps our skin kind of moist. What can we do about that? You know, if you can certainly not get a lot of sun exposure, because ultraviolet light is one of those things that ages your skin prematurely, and you can not smoke. But other than that, it's up to your genes, and the rate of aging is genetically predetermined. If you're in a stressful life, whether it's a family stress or work stress, you're going to age faster because your steroid levels are higher. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's a fact of life. So when you put vitamin C on your skin, and when you put vitamin A on your skin, when you put fruit acids on your skin, like lactic acid or citric acid or glycolic acid, there's a lot of those fruit acids, they really do have a rejuvenating effect on your skin, and they really do work. And that's what I put in nighttime. One step, because you're not going to do many steps. I know you won't, because I've been doing this for over 30 years with my patients, and I used to design, and many of you who have been my patients for a long time, you know, 10 years ago, I would give you this sheet of paper, and I'd say, okay, here's what you need to do in the morning, and here's what you need to do in the evening, and you need to wash your face this way. And I know that everybody would do it for a couple of days, and then people would start dropping off. And if you really question people, and if they're honest, they're not going to do a multi-step program more than a month or two. Even my celebrity patients won't do that. It sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? But it's really true. The commercials come from real life. And that's the fact of life. My patients are not going to do, and these are highly motivated patients, they're not going to do a multi-step program. So I wanted a program that was so simple that everybody could do it, and that's what nighttime is. All right, I wanted to talk tonight about facial rejuvenation, because it kind of is that season. You know, today I went to the New Jersey Society of Plastic Surgeons meeting, and there's an annual meeting every year. Next week is the Aesthetic Society meeting. So it's meeting season in plastic surgery, where we learn all the new things listen to world-renowned plastic surgeons. And very interesting meeting today, and there were topics of facial rejuvenation. And one of the things that always strikes me when I go to these meetings is that everybody who speaks, all the speakers at our plastic surgery meetings, have great results. They show wonderful results, and their techniques are so different. You know, one doctor will get up there and talk about a one-layered facelift, and the next doctor will talk about a two-layered facelift, and one doctor will talk about how important it is to do a very aggressive operation in the neck with a facelift. And today, one of the plastic surgeons said, you know, we don't even need to go into the neck. In many cases, we can do a very, very aggressive operation in the cheeks. So it is very interesting to see the differences. And I always say that plastic surgeons who are well-trained and know how to do all the different techniques, well, they're going to arrive at a particular procedure that works very well for them. And obviously, we all need to get very good results. Otherwise, we're going to have unhappy patients, and we're going to have people who are unsatisfied with the results. So we all arrive at a particular operation like a facelift that works for us. So there are probably now, there's got to be about 35 different facelifts in the United States. And they range from really, really complex procedures that are very dangerous because they're performed right near the facial nerves. And those are the nerves that control the muscles of the face. And then there are other procedures that stay away from those nerves. And there are two-layered and one-layered and more than two-layer facelifts now. So it is very interesting. And I wanted to talk to you about how I do a facelift. Because sooner or later, you're going to need one. Now, whether you have one or not is a different story. Last year in the United States, there were somewhere in the area of 120,000 women who had facelifts. So, you know, that's not a tremendous number of facelifts if you really think about it. There are 65 million women between the ages of 35 and 75. So those are the women that could benefit from a facelift. So why haven't you all had a facelift? Well, lots of reasons. One of those reasons is you simply don't want to have surgery. And I have so many patients. It's always interesting to me when I do a consult for facial rejuvenation. My patients are divided almost equally between the patients that come in and tell me, you know, surgery's not for me. I just don't want to do it. I can't even imagine having an incision going under anesthesia and having surgery. So let's talk about non-invasive treatments. And we have so many now in plastic surgery. Then I have patients that come in and they say, there's no way that I'm coming back to your office every 2 or 3 or 6 or even 12 months for injections and Althera and Botox and fillers and Instalift and all these non-invasive things that can make you look better. It's really a facelift. And I've had people at pretty young ages, in their late 30s, early 40s, who have told me that. And it is always very interesting to hear from the patient exactly why they've arrived at that decision. And as a board-certified plastic surgeon, I offer all the different levels of care, from skin care, and you've heard me talk about that on this show, to non-invasives, which are things like Botox and fillers, which are really, there's so many uses for fillers now. We used to just fill wrinkles, and now we make lips bigger. We make cheekbones bigger. We fill in the trough. You know the trough on your lower eyelid? We can fill that in with filler. Different fillers for different things on the face. We can also use filler to fill in that spot between the jowl and the chin. So if you're over 50, you've got a little bit of a jowl unless you've had surgery. So we can use filler to kind of smooth in that depression and buy you a few more years. So we use fillers. We use Instalift. Those are the stitches. There are different versions of it. At the meeting today, I saw another version. I use a type of a cone that goes in one way, and when we pull it back, that cone lifts the tissue. It's called Instalift. And then there are other versions of that that have the barbed sutures. And they only last about a year, maybe a little bit longer, a year and a half, maybe 2 years. But they're not surgery, and they do give you a benefit. They'll lift your jowls up. So we have all sorts of things now in plastic surgery. So I'll tell you what, why don't we take a phone call? Cresta, you're on the line. What can I do for you? What is your wrinkle? Do we have Cresta? Come in, Cresta. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Okay, I have a question. Do I need to tell you my age?
Why not? Tell me. No one's listening. There are no listeners. No, there's lots of listeners. Yeah, tell me your age, Cresta.
Okay, I'm 54. I'll be 55 in a few months.
Well, that's pretty young. Okay, well, I don't know why you didn't want to tell me, but go ahead.
Okay, I have this a slight bag under just one of my eyes. Is there anything I can use to get rid of? I bought a set of your products recently, and I've been using it consistently. But I don't know if it will be able to get rid of the bags. But I just need to get rid of this bag from under my eyes.
No. My product and no skincare product will permanently get rid of bags. That's a surgical problem. There's nothing, vitamin C, vitamin A, fruit acids, none of those things are going to get rid of bags. And I'm surprised you only have under one eye, because most people have under both eyes. Now, there are products like my friend John Greenhut, who we did products together for a long time. He's got something called Plexiderm. It's a free commercial for him. That's a substance that is, it's not really skincare. It's more like a cosmetic, because it's a silicone-based cosmetic that when it dries over the course of several minutes, it kind of tightens the skin. But I call those the Cinderella products, because at midnight, when you wash your face off, boom, you're right back to where you were before. So like Cinderella, you know. But that's a cosmetic. But really what we do for bags under the eyes, there's a few different treatments. I said it's a surgical problem because the procedure to remove the fat underneath the eyes is called a blepharoplasty, or a lower eyelid lift. So that's the procedure. We make an incision underneath the eyelashes, and gently, very gently, it's a very delicate procedure, and always worries me when I hear of non-board-certified plastic surgeons or oculoplastic surgeons or facial plastic surgeons. Those are the three that do it. But there are other doctors that sometimes do these things, and it's a little frightening to me because it's a very delicate procedure called the blepharoplasty. We'll remove that extra fat, and then we usually tighten the lids also at the same time. We get rid of a little bit of extra skin. Now, other ways to handle this, depending on exactly what you have, that thing that I told you about called Ulthera, Ultherra. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you about this Ulthera, but we're going to take a very short break. When I come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Ulthera and some non-invasive treatments for the lower eyelid fat bags. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
What is your wrinkle? All right, we were talking with Cresta before our break, and Cresta has fat bags, she said, on one lower eyelid. Is that correct, Cresta?
Yes.
And you're 50, tell me again. I know you didn't want to tell me. How old?
54.
Oh, my God. I asked her twice. She didn't want to tell me once. All right. So now, Cresta, if you put your face very close to the radio, I'll be able to actually look at the... No, we can't do that. I wish we could. We should have something with this program here, right? But I can't see. You know, you could have fat bags, but you could also have something called a festoon. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Festoon, F-E-S-T-O-O-N. And that's different than the fat bags of the lower eyelids. The fat bags are more typical to have them symmetrically. You know, you've got them in both lower lids. If you've got only one, you may have what's called a festoon. And a festoon is completely different. That can be either a little swelling, kind of a almost watery tissue underneath the eyelid, in the upper cheek, lower eyelid area, or it could also be a little extra muscle that in that area. And it's harder to treat, believe it or not. Lately, which means the last 8 or so years, I've used Ulthera to shrink the skin there. Ulthera is high-energy focused ultrasound, kind of like a laser, because before Ulthera, I did use laser, and before I used laser, I excised those areas. I actually cut those out. If that's what it is. And in fact, at our meeting today, here we are in 2018, Mr. Eyelid Surgeon said he still cuts those out in our lecture today. So people are doing all sorts of different things. The reason I don't like to make an incision right there in the upper cheek, lower eyelid, is sometimes it's visible. So I like the Ulthera, which shrinks the tissue. So, you know, obviously this is a nebulous discussion here because I can't see what you have. But there are lots of different treatments now for lower eyelid fat bags. There's filler that can disguise them. There's Ulthera to tighten the lid. And things of that nature. So, Cresta, that's your answer, and I'm not sure it's exactly what you wanted to hear, but thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So let's say you are now 50 years old, and you look in the mirror and you see that jowl, and you say, my goodness, I don't think I saw that last month, and maybe I'm just not looking in the mirror. And, you know, early in my career, I actually used to say to patients, well, you know, that is not such a you haven't gotten this rapidly. You've had this for a long time. You just haven't looked in the mirror. And but then I realized patients go through, humans go through aging spurts. And just like we go through growth spurts, you know, you'll see a kid and he'll be, 5 feet tall, and you see him 4 months later and he's 5'6". How could that happen? It's a hormonally influenced growth spurt. And the same way as you get older, your hormones, all sorts of hormones, decline, and not in a linear way. That means they don't just every day there's a little tiny bit less. What happens is they kind of go, you know, at a certain level, and then boom, something happens, and we don't understand this real well, but your hormonal levels, whether it's estrogen, progesterone, thyroid hormone, growth hormone, all sorts of hormones decline, and when they decline, you get what I call an aging spurt. So, Barbara Bush was buried today. She is the former first lady. May she rest in peace. A wonderful woman. But she told the story about how her hair turned white after the death of her child who had childhood cancer. And that's a story that I hear all the time. People tell me, well, you know, my hair turned white or turned gray or fell out, with a traumatic incident in my life. I lost my job, my husband, got divorced, whatever it is. That can be a real ager. And if we were actually looking at hormonal levels before and after that incident, we'd see all sorts of changes. Well, I'm not an endocrinologist, and I'm not here to help with your hormones, unfortunately. An endocrinologist could be. I'm here to help with the what you look like after you have that aging spurt. So if you do have that aging spurt and you look in the mirror and you say, well, I've got these little jowls now because I'm 50 years old, I'd rather not have them, what can we do? Well, again, 5 years ago, if you were 50, I'd say, you know what, we're going to postpone a facelift as long as possible. That was my attitude until a paper came out about a year or two ago, and it showed that people who have facelifts at younger ages do much better with a facelift, and they last much longer. So someone 50 might get 10 or even longer, 10 or 2 years or even longer out of a facelift. Someone who's 45 might get 15 years out of a facelift. If you're 70 and you have a facelift, you might only get 5 years out of a facelift. So it is interesting that it's not let's put it off forever. Let's maybe do a facelift early. But if you don't like a facelift, the idea of a facelift, then there are lots of other things. So what can we do? If you come into my office and you're 50 years old and you've just got those jowls, well, chances are you've got a few other things at the same time. You've probably got some wrinkles around your mouth. You probably have deeper nasal labial folds. Those are the folds between the sides of the nose, the corner of the nose, and the corner of the mouth. You probably have early marionette lines. Those are the howdy doody lines that we talked about last week between the corner of the mouth and the bottom of your chin. And if you look at your neck, you probably have a little bit of fat in your neck. I saw a 68-year-old woman this week who had zero fat in the neck and no drooping in the neck. She's never had a facelift. Very interesting, because that is a real exception. Most people do. We follow our genetic destiny, and we're destined to get a little fat in our neck. We're destined to get those bands in the neck, and the skin loosens, and the angle between our chin, neck, and chest changes. So we have all those things going on at the same time. We can approach those non-invasively if you want. And one of those things is the filler that we talked about a few minutes ago. We put wrinkle filler around the lips and around the wrinkles, in the folds, in the little depression in front of the jowl. And I also like to do at the same time Ulthera. So what again is Ulthera? Ulthera is high energy focused ultrasound. And I've been doing it now for about 8 years. I was one of the early users of Ulthera in the United States. I usually don't jump on the bandwagon too soon, but this seemed like a really good thing, and it's held the test of time. As many other treatments have come and gone, Ulthera is still here. And the reason it's still here is because it works. And what it does is the sound has energy. We know that. You stand near a parade and your pants vibrate even though you're distant from the source of the sound. So sound travels through air and it can actually be focused. But if we took that big sound of something that can actually move your molecules, it would be deafening. So we use ultrasound. Ultrasound is sound that you can't hear, and even dogs can't hear this particular wavelength of sound or frequency of sound. So we use this, we focus it under the skin, we move the molecules under the skin, and we cause a little bit of an injury, and your body sees that injury, tightens the skin, and also generates collagen. We can use it to raise eyebrows. We can use it to raise the jowls. And if you're 50, it's a really good treatment for your jowl. If you're 70, I don't think it's that good a treatment for your jowl, because a treatment with Ulthera will do a certain amount of lifting. And not a percentage of the lift that you need, but an actual amount. So if you've got really big jowls, the percentage of lifting from this treatment is less. So it makes sense if you think about that. If you've got small jowls, the percentage of lifting with Ulthera is more. And there was a study that just came out, it was in the Aesthetic Surgery Journal in last September, and they looked at Ulthera, and it turns out, very interesting, but obvious when you think about it, the more pulses of Ulthera we do on one side of the face compared to the other side of the face, and the more energy in that pulse, the better the result we get. And that is why I, as a plastic surgeon, will do your Ulthera procedure. I will not delegate it to a nurse. I will not delegate it to a physician's assistant or someone else. I've heard of aestheticians doing these procedures. There's no possible way that they can understand exactly what's happening to your face and can innovate with this machine. Higher energies, more pulses, and things like that. We don't want to just follow protocols. That's not the way we do things in plastic surgery. So Ulthera, we use fillers, we use Botox, we use Instalift. Those are all of these non-invasive therapies, and they really do work to rejuvenate your face. And let's not forget about peels, because so many people come in with splotchy pigmentation of the skin. No matter what your skin color, you tend to get that as you get older. But depending on your skin color, we have to alter the type of peel, because we can't do the deeper peels if you've got more skin color. All right. It's a very big subject. It's something that I spent 32 years on, learning how to rejuvenate faces the best way possible. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This has been What's Your Wrinkle? If you want to get a hold of me during the week, I'm in my Manhattan office on Fifth Avenue. It's on the corner of 47th and 5th, and in New Jersey, Somerset, New Jersey. Thanks so much for a great program. Sorry about those technical difficulties the first couple minutes, but that's radio. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We'll see everybody next week.